Good morning, Redemption Church. Good morning. Man, I'm amped up after that video, the worship set. Guys, thank you for the guys that were playing in the worship team this morning. That was awesome, just leading us in worship to Jesus. But also, just real quick, want to say thank you to Adam and Caitlin for leading and planning all of this. Because there's a lot that goes into this every week, and they're doing that on top of full-time jobs. And so I just want to thank them. Adam, I don't even think's in here anymore. I can't see him. But just wanted to say thank you to them. It's awesome, guys. And for you that don't know me, my name is Jacob Thomas. I'm one of the elders here at Redemption Church. And my role as an elder is to build up the church into the image of Christ, to help build up the church. Carter, Michael, and myself, that's our role. It's to push the church to put Jesus above all. And there are different ways that we build up the church, that we help to build up the church into the image of Christ. One way is through proclaiming God's word on Sunday morning when we gather together, hence why I'm standing up here this morning. Another way that we build up the church is through praying with you and for you. And guys, I want to just let you guys know that Carter, Michael, myself, as well as our wives, we pray for you guys regularly. If it's not daily, it's weekly. We believe in prayer. We believe that's the way God moves in people's lives and in the city. And so we pray for you guys regularly as well as our wives. And then another way that we build up the church is by encouraging us to put off the old self and put on the new self, which is a little bit about what we're going to talk about this morning. And upon hearing that you put off the old self and you put on the new self, we might be tempted or inclined to just think about behaviors. You know, do this, but don't do that. Like Carter has fondly said over a couple times over this series, and anybody know it, don't drink, don't cuss, or chew, or date girls that do. So, you know, it's basically saying we put off old behaviors and then we put on new behaviors, right? This is surface-level Christianity. It's not the gospel. The gospel is much deeper than that. When we just think about the behaviors, we cheapen the gospel. We make our Savior and our salvation shallow, which unfortunately is what we do a lot of the times, and myself included. I've been reading this book called The Deeply Formed Life with another member of the church. And the premise of the book is that the church has become superficial and shallow. The premise is that the church has lost the fact that we are to be deeply rooted in Jesus in every step of life. In every aspect of our life, we are to be rooted in the person and work of Jesus. And in the book, he used this illustration from the Titanic, and it got me just intrigued about the Titanic. And so I went and started reading and researching about the Titanic. And if you read about the Titanic, it really is both a fascinating story and a tragic story. Okay? The Titanic was built in 1912, and at the time, it was the largest ship built. And the owners of the Titanic, they claimed that the Titanic was the unsinkable ship. It could not be sunk. And on its maiden voyage, its first trip, it sank. Okay. The Titanic hit an iceberg right before midnight on April 14th, 1912. And in the hours after, over 1,500 people died in the icy waters, which that's the tragic part. But one of the fascinating parts of the story are the moments right after the ship hit the iceberg. You would think a ship hitting an iceberg and taking on water would just create total chaos, right? That people would be pushing people over, trying to get to the lifeboats. They would be trying to save themselves. You know, the things that movies portray. If you ever watched the movie Titanic from like early 2000s, that's what happens. But that's not what happened. That's absolutely not. There are multiple accounts from people who did survive that say that people were calm. that when the ship hit the iceberg, most people were asleep. And most of those people that were asleep had to be woken up by the staff. So they didn't even wake up. The covers on the lifeboats weren't even uncovered for the first 25 minutes after the iceberg hit. The first lifeboat wasn't lowered until 12:45 a.m. The ship hit the iceberg at 11:40 p.m. So for over an hour, nobody even lowered a lifeboat. An hour. I don't know about you, but if a ship is taking on water, I think I would want to get out of it. So what does this tell us about the situation? Well, it tells us that the people on the Titanic didn't believe that the Titanic was going to sink and went about their lives not thinking about the reality around them. For at least 25 minutes to an hour, the passengers on the ship went about their night without a care. And like the passengers of the Titanic, most of us live just like that. We don't realize that we are sinking. We live without thinking about what we have been saved from. On a daily basis, many of us don't think about the cost that Jesus paid to save us. We don't think about the gospel and the things above. We go about our lives like there's no eternity. And look, no judgment. I am the same way. But I don't want that for us. I want us all to know the surpassing goodness of Jesus. Through Jesus, we are saved from our old self and given a new life. No longer are we dead in our sin. We can live our daily lives in the new life Jesus has given us. And so my hope today is that we dive deep into the gospel, that we set our minds on Jesus, which if you are a note taker, that's our main point today, is to set our minds on Jesus. So today we're going to continue through the book of Colossians. We're going to be in Colossians 3, 1 through 11. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through the text, and we're going to make a stop or two along the way, and we're going to talk about some things. Does that sound good to you? All right, let's go. So we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 3, and it says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right, guys, let's pause right there. Paul begins this section reminding us who he is talking to. He's talking to those of us who would say we are raised with Christ. Paul is talking to Christians here. He starts out by saying, if then you have been raised with Christ, he's talking to people that have decided to follow Jesus. You can only be raised with Christ if you are following Christ. And like Carter has pointed out a couple times in this series, there is an order to things. It's beliefs first, behaviors second. And throughout the book of Colossians, we're reminded that we believe in Jesus first, and our belief in Jesus is how we change. It's not the other way around. We don't set our minds right, and then Jesus loves us. We don't clean ourselves up, and then Jesus is okay with us. That's the wrong order. We believe, then our affections change. Therefore, our behaviors change. Rick Warren, a pastor in California, said it like this. Your worldview determines everything else in your life. What we believe determines our behavior, and our behavior determines what we become in life. It's out of belief comes what we do. For instance, if you think that running is good, you will run. All right? And I'm not saying rationally, you know that running's good for you. We all know running is good for you, right? Nobody would say running is bad for you. We all know that. But most of us don't actually believe running is like good. We don't believe running is good because our actions don't follow, right? What we actually believe is good is sitting on our couch watching the latest episode of Ted Lasso, eating our favorite snack. Now that's good, okay? Thank you. You know, we believe that sitting on the couch brings more to our life than running does. Therefore, we don't run. And likewise, the life change that Paul will talk about in this passage only happens after we put our faith in Jesus. So if you've placed your faith in the person and work of Jesus, then you have been raised with Christ. And if that's you, then you set your mind on the things that are above. And so for the rest of our time, I want to answer three questions. The first one is, why do we set our minds? Second one, how do we set our minds? And then third, what do we set our minds on? And so first, the why. Why do we set our minds? Well, the short answer is to finish and win the race. In other letters that Paul wrote, he compares life to a race. You know, we're all running this race. There's a start to our life. There's an end to our life. There's an in-between. And we're all running it. And throughout our lives, we all have this innate sense that we were made for great things, that there is purpose and meaning to our existence. We want our life to amount to something. In other words, we want to win. And what we have to do is figure out what winning is. And we believe here at Redemption Church that what we do in this life matters. It has eternal consequences. To run this race well is to run with Jesus. Winning the race is putting Jesus above all, having confidence in Jesus. And we believe that there's an eternity and that there is this earthly life. And when we die after this, what we believe in this life affects our standing in the next. And Paul, talking about this race, about his race, in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, he says this, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord. The righteous judge will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. See what he says there? He says he's ran a race. He's talking about his life. And he knows that his life on earth is about done. But he also knows that soon he will see his reward. He knows that a crown of righteousness is waiting for him. And can you just hear the joy that's in the language that he's using here? This isn't usually how people that are about to die sound. This isn't what they usually talk like. But I read this and I can almost see Paul here just smiling for the joy that awaits him. And this is why we set our minds on the things above, for the joy that awaits us to finish the race and see our Savior Jesus, for us to put Jesus above all and for him to say, well done, my son. Well done, my daughter. Welcome home. To win the race is to see Jesus' face, to live with him and enjoy the company of our Savior forever. That is why we set our minds. Now, how do we set our minds? Right? I know talking to this many people, some of us are probably like, yeah, I'm pretty much an expert on setting my mind. And some of us are like, yeah, I'm not an expert at all. I can't set my mind on nothing. Some of you are like me, you're goal-oriented people who can just set your mind on a task and just run after it. You know, you got that focus. But the truth is, setting your mind on heavenly things is difficult. And let me encourage us this morning, if you are one of those people who say, I just have trouble setting my mind. This life isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. God doesn't want us to sprint to clean ourselves up just to burn out 3 years later and walk away from him. God is after our hearts, our minds, our lives, our whole lives for eternity. This is why we were created, to be in communion with him for all of eternity. This is a marathon. And there will be times when your mindset is good and you're focused on Christ and his love. There are times where you'll love God completely and love yourself correctly and love others compassionately. You'll see victory over sins. The race is going well, right? You know the times. You're on that mountain. Other times we feel like we can't go on. We feel like we are stumbling over ourselves. We feel guilty because we've let God down, or we've let ourselves down, or we've let others down. Our mindset is that of defeat, not victory. You're in that valley. You know that you're sinking, but guys, this is a marathon. Have confidence in Jesus and jump in the lifeboat. And I got a couple ways for us to set our minds on the things of above. And this isn't an exhaustive list. There are other ways. These are some good ways to start. And if you want more on this subject, we actually did a sermon on our thought life back in 2021. There are 4 sermons there that go much deeper into how we set our minds on the things above on our website. So go check those out. But here are a couple ways that are good ways to start setting your mind. The first is take one step at a time in faith. So lately I've been reading about ultra runners, okay? Have you heard about these people? Y'all know about them? They crazy, okay? Ultra runners are just crazy. They make no sense to me, but that's probably why I've been reading about them, because they also fascinate me and just the mindset and why somebody would choose to get up and run 50 or 75 or 100 miles in a day or two. I don't get it. I just don't. But it is fascinating. I mean, to put this in perspective, these people who run these races, if I was to run 100 miles, that would be like me leaving where I am right now, going out the door, running south, and I would end up in Greensboro, North Carolina. Does that not blow your mind that people would do that? Blows my mind. I don't know. But this isn't something that you can just get up and go do, guys. You gotta train pretty intensely for it. It's both grueling on their bodies, but also on their minds. And from what I've read, because I haven't done this, you have to prepare, and then during the race, even if you have prepared, you have to be mentally strong, or you might not finish the race. I read about an ultra runner on Outside Outline named Dan Buer. And he found himself in a deep, dark hole during 2018's Flagstaff to Grand Canyon Stagecoach Line 100 mile. And he said this: "I came into the 67-mile aid station in the middle of the night. I was cold, lonely, frustrated, and completely drained. I was cooked. A gloomy voice from within took charge and told me I wasn't good enough to be here, and all of this was pointless," which I would agree with him, but. Then he said, "I wanted to quit." But Buer, he said he regrouped and he turned his attention to the bigger picture. And then he said this: "It suddenly dawned on me. I realized I was being silly, a big baby. This was but one single point, 1 mile in one of many, many races. I had trained for this. I had already covered 67 miles, and I brought my wife, Lori, and my good friend, Ken, all the way to Northern Arizona for this race. All I had to do was keep moving forward and leave this mile behind me." And guys, this got me thinking about my life. And I wondered, how many times do I let the gloomy voice within me keep me from being the person that Jesus has called me to be? Do I let fear freeze me from sharing my faith? Do I doubt how valuable I am to God and allow that doubt to interfere with the relationship that we have? Do I believe I'm not good enough because I've committed that sin again? And maybe, guys, you have some of the same questions. And you're asking, how do I go forward when those questions arise? Well, you preach the gospel to yourself. And you take one step at a time in faith. You believe who God says he is. You believe who you are in him. Trust he'll see you through and take a step. And sometimes that's a metaphorical step. Sometimes that's a physical step. But either way, remember that God loves you. He knows what's best for you. And he can empower you through Jesus. Earlier in Colossians, Paul had this to say in chapter 1. He says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works through me." When he says his energy, he's talking about Christ's energy. Or another verse that's one of my favorites is 2 Peter 1:3. It says that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and holiness. He's talking about Christ's power. It's through Jesus that we are empowered to walk this life. Stop believing the lies that you can't do it. Trust God that he'll see you through and take a step. And I don't know if there's a step for you today. I don't know you and where you are and your relationship with God. But take some time and think about if there's anything God is calling you to do that you've been afraid of. And take one step out in faith and see what God can do. You might be surprised. And last thing on this point, don't try to take all the steps at once. Remember, this is a marathon, not a sprint. You won't always be able to fix everything right away. It might take weeks. It might take months. It might take years. You don't know what the future holds, but God does. So set your mind on him and take one step at a time in faith. The second way to set your mind on things above, be proactive to read God's word. The Bible is God's message of who he is, what he has done for us, and who we are in him. The Bible reminds us that God is Father. It tells us that he is merciful, loving, gracious, wise, and many other good things. It tells us that he knows us and loves us. It tells us that he didn't spare his own son on our behalf. And in Jesus, we have love, joy, and peace. And despite the Bible being God's message to us, according to one survey, in 2018, only 15% of Christians read their Bible daily. In 2021, that number went down to 11%. Guys, let's contrast that with TV consumption real quick. Uh-oh. That's your pastor talking. On average, the typical American views just around 3 hours of TV every single day. The average person watches about 141 hours of TV per month, or 1,692 hours per year. And we wonder why lies creep into our minds and consume our thoughts. What we put in our minds will affect our lives. And based on those statistics, Netflix has a much stronger pull on our minds and our lives than the Bible does. And if it's not Netflix, Fox News, CNN, ESPN, you take your pick. We need to be proactive in filling our hearts and our minds with the gospel. We know the gospel because of God's word. So we need to be people that are in God's word. The third way to set our minds is to surround yourself with people that will help remind you of the gospel. You cannot live the Christian life alone. There are 59 one another verses in the Bible that tell us how to be to one another. Jesus himself placed himself in intentional community with other people, and it's because community is important to God. Therefore, community should be important to us. You know, God gave us this family to support one another. He gave it to us to strengthen us, to build each other up. We have brothers and sisters around us to love us in both truth and love. And guys, this isn't a negotiable point. If we are to set our minds on the things above, then we need people who will remind us of the gospel. And that's why we gather on Sundays. That's why we have community groups and DNA groups here at Redemption Church. The church exists to be intentional in relationships, to build each other up. So step number one here is make a friend. You know, talk to someone new this morning before leaving. join a group this week, then at least one time a week or two times a week, you will be reminded of the things that are above. Then the last point I have on the how, on how we set our minds, is ask. Right? I don't want to spend a lot of time here because there are so many places in Scripture that God tells us if we would just ask. You know, need wisdom? Ask. Are you suffering? Pray. Are you anxious? Pray. In distress? Cry out. There are over 60 different instances where God tells us to reach out to Him through prayer when we are in need. When was the last time you prayed and asked God to help you set your mind on heavenly things? When was the last time you asked God to help you push out the distractions of earthly things? God is a gracious and loving Father, prepared to listen. You have His ear, and He's willing. Just got to ask. And so that's a couple ways to set your mind on Christ. Now that we've covered the why and we've gone over some ways how to set your mind, let's spend some time on what we set our mind on. Let's finish up our time with the what. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put away them all: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. As the gospel is what we must set our minds on. That's how we run and win the race, by setting our minds on the gospel. The gospel is this: our nature is broken. Our nature from birth is broken. From the womb, we are born dead because of sin. We're separated from God, and we all have broken God's laws, no matter who you are. Sexual immorality, check. Impurity, check. Passion, check. Evil desires, check. Covetousness, I don't like that one, double check. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Guys, if you don't believe me, just think about the last time that coworker or your boss annoyed you. Okay, how was your mouth? How was your anger? How was your covetousness? At that moment, did you wish for that dream job that could take you away from all of the annoying things? Guys, though we don't like this part, it's part of the gospel. Before we can be saved, we have to know we are lost. This is the first part of the gospel. Christ followers, we have to set our minds on the fact that we were lost. We were wicked. We were dead by our very nature. That we were sinking on the ship. But Christians, listen closely. I did not say focus on the sin. I said set your mind on the fact that you were lost, wicked, and dead. If you have been raised with Christ, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. None of those things are true of you anymore. They were put to death once you put your faith in Jesus. Jesus is above all of your wrongdoings. Romans says this: for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus died to give us life. You have new life. You don't have to live like you did before, and you don't have to feel guilty about your screw-ups. You have been raised with Christ. Your identity is no longer in your past life. Your identity is found in Jesus. He nailed all of our sin to the cross and exchanged your old self with a new self. So now when God sees us, he sees us as righteous, beloved sons and daughters. Church, stop setting your mind on your past and set your mind on your Savior. And to end, I want to talk to non-Christians, and then I'll have one last thing for Christians. First, to non-Christians in the room, I don't know why you're here exactly this morning. I'm glad you're here, but I don't know why. Maybe it's because you're here because you're trying to run this race called life and are exploring all the options. You know, everyone is looking for fulfillment in this life. There is a reason that the U.S. self-improvement industry is a $10 billion industry. And it's because everybody is trying to cast out the old self and replace it with a new self. We know that something in our old nature is not quite right. The only new self that will fulfill you is a relationship with Jesus. And it's the reason it's the only thing is because it isn't based on what you do. It's based on what Jesus did. And so if you got any questions this morning, man, I'd love to talk to you. Carter'd love to talk to you. Grab somebody else. Ask them questions. Christians, if we set our minds on Jesus and what he's done, we will change. Our affections will change. Our behaviors will change. But not out of obligation, but because we were saved. And guys, just for a second, I want you to imagine with me. I want you to picture with me, if you will, okay? I want you to picture yourself in a room. You're sitting in the middle of this room, and this room is engulfed in flames. The walls are on fire. The ceiling's on fire. The ceiling's about to collapse down on you. The door's shut. The window's shut. You can't escape. There's nothing you can do in yourself to save yourself. And in that moment, you realize that you're dead, that you are about to die. You've accepted your fate, but then at the last moment before the ceiling comes crashing down on you, the fireman kicks in the door. He runs over to you. He throws you over his shoulder, carries you out the door, down the hall, down the stairs, out the front door, and sets you safely on the sidewalk. A lot of emotions, a lot of things would be going through your mind, through your heart at that moment. But I know one emotion, one thing that would be filling your mind, and that's thankfulness. It'd be thankfulness because you were dead, but now you get to live. And that's what Jesus has done for us on a much larger scale. And when we get that, it will manifest into thankfulness. Every week we have communion here, and it's a time of response. It's a time for us to respond to what Jesus did on our behalf. To remember the blood that was spilled, the body that was broken, so that we could be made whole again. And in a minute, the band is going to come up and they're going to play a song called Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. And during this time, if you would say that you are a follower of Christ, that you are following Christ, I'd ask you to come up and grab the elements and hold on to them. If you're here and you would say, I'm not a follower of Christ, I'd ask you not to partake with us. This is something for those that would say they're following Jesus. And guys, during the song, today I really want us to think about what Jesus has done for us. And so today, I mean, this is every week, but specifically today, guys, man, I want us just to thank Jesus together as we're singing this song. And however you need to do that, I want you to know you're free to do that. If that's singing at the top of your lungs, do that. Guys, if you need to sit there silently and pray, or come out and pray on the floor, or hey, if you needed to go get somebody and pray with them, do that. I'm not one for laying down on a floor, but hey, if you need to come down here and lay on the floor, do it. However you need to do to thank Jesus for being our Savior, for saving us, let's do that today. So today, let's set our mind on Jesus and let's thank Him for what He's done on our behalf. And I'm going to pray, and then after the song, I'll come back up and I'll lead us in the elements and taking the elements. Let's pray.